Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're standing here at the B1 Bomber. My name is Digital Dave, and I'm with Captain Mike. I'm sure you have a last name.
Mike Brazda, actually. Thank
Mike
you, Dave.
Mike Brazda. I'll be good. I've been murdering names all day. Well, we're standing in front of the B-1 bomber. Everybody knows it's a frontline bomber, but, you know, I don't even know who built this thing.
This was originally built by Rockwell, and these days it's actually owned by Boeing. So that's who we call the owner these days.
The Boeing B-1, okay. Nicknamed the Bone, I believe?
We do call it the Bone. We call it that just because it's B and then O-N-E, so Bone. The official name is Lancer, but you don't hear it called that very often.
It's funny how that works. They do the same thing with all the airplanes.
I know it.
Okay, what can you tell me about her? She's a beautiful machine, that's for sure.
She's been in active service here for about 20 years now, built in 1986. And she has, as you can see, three large bomb bays. We can carry a multitude of weapons, everything from 2,000-pound dumb bombs and 500-pound bombs up to 2,000-pound JDAM, cruise missiles, mines, cluster munitions, what have you.
Ping pong balls, we had that discussion.
That's right.
Supersonic capable, I understand?
She is supersonic capable. We can do Mach 1.2 at altitude, and down low we do about just under the speed of sound at low altitude down to about 200 feet.
Okay, now yesterday I watched you guys arrive, and I think one of the most visible and unusual features is the wings. Can you explain why they move in and out like that?
This is what we call variable geometry wings, and so these wings can sweep everywhere from 15 degrees from perpendicular all the way back to 67.5 degrees. For high-speed, low-level performance.
Okay, so you're basically using that to expand the speed envelope of the aircraft.
That's right. Plus, it allows us to land at much slower, safer speeds as well.
And it looks really cool when they're folded back. You guys forgot that part. Okay, we got four engines under here. They are afterburning turbojets?
They're the F-101 afterburning turbojets. They produce about 17,000 pounds of thrust without afterburner and 30,000 in full afterburner.
Makes an awful lot of noise, that's for sure. You were using burner yesterday, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Trying to make some popcorn. Can you cruise supersonic without burner?
No, we cannot. We are in full afterburner when we go supersonic, and then we can pull it back a little bit after that.
Okay, so you watch the fuel gauge and the airspeed wave at each other as they pass.
That's right.
Mission capability, like duration, how long can you fly?
Really has pretty much unlimited range because we're air-to-air refuelable. They've done global power missions, we call them, in the past, which is flying all the way around the world. Is about a 34-hour mission for us, so it can pretty much fly continuously.
Well, that's pretty tough on the crew, I imagine.
That it can be. There's not a lot of room upstairs, so we don't get to catch much shut-eye on those flights, but typical employment durations are about 15 hours or so.
You know, there's probably a lot of people wondering, on a 34-hour flight, is there a movie?
No comment.
No comment. What are typically, this is considered a tactical bomber? Or strategic, whatever the word is these days?
Well, originally considered a strategic bomber, that's true, but our roles have expanded over the years to today where we're doing a lot of close air support type work with the troops on the ground. So because of our large fuel capacity, up to about 200,000 pounds, we have a lot of long duration, plus we can carry a lot of weapons. So it allows us to loiter up over the troops on the ground and provide support whenever they need it.
When you say grounds, close air support or ground support, does that mean you're coming in at treetop level?
It can mean that. We've been known to do that, but most of the time we'll hover up at higher altitudes and just be on call for anything that's needed on the ground.
Well, that must be interesting. I mean, you're waiting around for something to happen, and okay.
Yep, it can be hours of boredom interspersed with just a few seconds of sheer terror.
Yeah, especially for the people under you.
That's right.
How many crew? How many people?
It's a crew of four. We've got a pilot, a co-pilot, and then we have an offensive system operator and a defensive system operator. The aft station there is a dual train, so we can perform either role. And one handles the dropping of the bombs, the navigation, and the radar systems, and the other one handles defending the aircraft. We have such things on the defensive side as chaff, flares, jamming systems, and towed decoys.
You have an inflatable B-1 in the back, huh?
That's right.
Very good. I understand that most of these bombing systems these days are so sophisticated that they're quite like video games. Is this true?
Well, we'd have to compare this one to about Pong, I think, in some cases.
Well, then you get a lot out of that quarter, though, don't you?
That's right. Our computer systems have actually recently been upgraded, but originally a lot of this technology was 1970s technology that went into this bomber and substantially upgraded over the years, but it's sort of based on that era.
Usually, I mean, there used to be a time when a 20-year life of an aircraft was unheard of, and now we're still flying them. Are there plans to replace this?
There are no plans currently in the works. We're looking at out there to at least probably 2035, but no one can set a firm date, and that seems to fluctuate year to year.
How many B-1s are in the current inventory?
There were originally 100 built, and we currently have 66 in the active inventory between three different operational squadrons, and then we have a training squadron and a test squadron as well.
Well, I'm going to ask this and probably expose my ignorance, but I'm assuming as a captain you're a pilot?
Actually, I'm a weapon system officer. So,
See, I told you I'd expose my ignorance. I was going to ask you how it flies, but you'd have to ask the other guy.
She handles pretty well. She, of course, still does weigh 200,000 pounds empty, and when she's full, she can weigh up to 470,000 pounds. So it's a large aircraft and can handle such, but it'll outperform pretty much any other heavy aircraft.
So you don't worry about them chasing you too often?
Well, we have enough speed and fuel that we can pretty much outrun anything out there.
That's really cool. Now, you made a mention about tire things. You're apparently getting a lot of questions about your tires.
Well, if people have walked around and taken a look, we get a lot of comments about the scuffed tires and isn't about time to replace them. But the answer is no.
I don't want to pay for them. I know that much.
Yeah, there's 39 plies on those tires. They have to withstand an awful lot of weight when we touch down. So they're real sturdy, and we can get through at least 3 plies before we think about changing them. Can't waste those taxpayer dollars.
That's for sure. Is this your first time here at Oshkosh?
Actually, no. I've been here a number of times before, but before I joined the Air Force, it's one of my favorite air shows to come to.
Well, it's different then. You're wearing a green uniform and answering questions instead of the reverse.
That's correct.
And speaking of questions, I'm wondering if anybody in the audience has a question. All these people, someone's got to have a question. Yes, sir.
How fast is the top speed?
That's a good question.
The top speed is Mach 1.2 at the higher altitudes, and then at low level, we could do about Mach 0.95.
Well, you know, he's a pretty sturdy-looking kid. I'll bet he can hit that on his bike.
I think you're right.
You might want to explain, what exactly is a Mach?
Mach is the speed of sound, so we go just over the speed of sound at high altitude there.
Okay, right. Sea level, it's somewhere around 750 miles an hour?
Yeah, depending on the altitude you're at, it fluctuates, but so you're talking about 900 miles an hour or so.
That's pretty darn fast. He's good enough, but you know he looks like he can do it.
Does it have any stealth characteristics at all?
That's a good question too. This bomber was originally developed as the B-1A back in the 70s during the Carter administration, and was canceled in about 1979. It was originally designed as a high altitude penetrator, and now it was redesigned during the Reagan administration as a low level penetrator. And when they did that, they incorporated some stealth characteristics. Primarily, you can see in the nozzles, or the intake nozzles themselves on the engines. Those nacelles have been designed to be a lot more stealthy than the original ones were. And some other characteristics of the aircraft now make our radar signature about only one-tenth the size that it originally was, making us look to the enemy as a very, very small aircraft.
Bird. Now, was this design philosophy changed before there were flying examples of the aircraft?
There were actually 4 original B-1As flying in the 70s before that project was canceled, and you can still see 2 of those out there at a couple of museums, but that was all done before it went into production. It went into production in 84.
I'm wondering then if there were any pilots that when the commanding officer said, you see that big airplane? Well, we're going to fly that at 500 miles an hour, 50 feet off the ground and go over the trees. You wonder if any of them went, what are you, nuts?
I'm sure they did. This aircraft actually has a very sophisticated terrain-following radar system that watches the ground out in front of it, and you can actually choose the ride selection from soft to medium to hard ride, and it will hug the terrain accordingly.
Okay.
And we can set that anywhere from about 200 feet up to 2,000 feet, and it will simply follow the terrain, hands off.
Cruise control of a sort.
That's right.
When I think of terrain following, I think of something that says, turn left now. Watch out for the stop sign.
We still handle the turns ourselves, but it can do that, and that makes it a lot easier to fly at low level, and especially in a dark situation or where you're going through clouds and weather.
So that's a good point. This is an all-weather capable aircraft.
That's correct. Since we employ JDAM GPS-guided munitions, weather is really no factor for us.
Let's talk about that. The JDAM is basically a next-generation dumb bomb that they fitted up with some brains. Is that correct?
That's correct. We use old bombs, 500 and 2,000 pound, and strap on a tail kit, which is uses GPS to help guide and steer the fins and guide it to the exact coordinates that we want it to go to.
So, once you increase the intelligence of the bomb, gone are the days where you fly along and drop 36 bombs all in one shot. Is that you're more selective now, one at a time,
two
at a time?
We can be, but we can still do that mission as well. And there are certain situations where that is a useful way to employ. But it seems to be that the JDAM is the weapon in most demand these days, so we drop an awful lot of those.
Oh, so when you care enough to send the very best, and yeah.
Yes.
Are there any other questions?
Long flights, how do you prevent pilot fatigue?
Well, we get lots of sleep before we go. And then bring along a little soda, something to eat, and just try to keep each other awake. We can take short rests if necessary. So that's typically what we use to stay
awake. 30 seconds, 2 minutes, what's
that? Not off for 10 minutes or so.
Oh, you usually get away from the controls, is that correct? Or you just sit there in the seat?
No, we can we can get them walk around. There's not a lot of room upstairs. There's really just four ejection seats. Everybody ejects right out the top. And then there's a little aisleway between them. And we have a small bathroom, little toilet, kind of like you'd have in your camper there, because those missions do get pretty long.
Yeah.
So you can get out and walk around, stretch your legs on those longer missions, and if you need to, lay down for a little while.
I assume that there's not much modesty involved in the operation of that.
No.
All right, I believe I had a question in the back over here. Did I?
So there are four crew, the pilot, the co-pilot, and then offensive system operator and a defensive system operator.
Well, you're saying you have defensive systems, including jamming and chaff and flares. Chaff and flares obviously are close in, like, oh my God, last resort, things aren't going well. But what about radar detection? How far off can you detect an adversary?
Well, I couldn't tell you that exactly.
Ah, okay, roughly.
But this has a very sophisticated electronic warfare suite, and it actually accounts for up to a third of the cost of the aircraft as a whole. But we can detect all sorts of radar systems out there and enemy aircraft, and then we can identify exactly where they are and decide what sort of tactics would be best to employ there.
So if you're zooming along and you know, you're terrain following and the state police hit you, boom, with their little speed radar, you go, hey, I know what that is.
Jam him.
Jam quick. He's going to get us a ticket. let's see. How much you carry 200,000 pounds of fuel.
Yes.
How long will that run?
That varies widely depending on the sort of altitudes and speeds that we decide to fly. Typically for us, we may fly 4 or 5 hours before getting a little gas from a tanker.
You know, I understand in-flight refueling, you'd get the boom and they put it in, but how do you pass the credit card back up?
We make Uncle Sam pay the bill.
Oh, wow. I believe I saw a hand over here.
What year was this plane manufactured and by whom and where at?
It's manufactured out in Palmdale by Rockwell in 1986.
Now, do you guys, is there a little friendly rivalry between you and the B-52 guys?
There's a rivalry between all of us, but these days we actually work together really well in a rotation. And well, since we're so active these days, we really need every bomber we've got to get throughout the year. So we rotate around and we pass those guys all the time.
Is it true then that you're also based in this country specifically? They don't base these overseas?
Well, we do have two primary bases for this aircraft, one up in Ellsworth Air Force Base in Rapid City, South Dakota, and the other one down in Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene, Texas. But we do typically deploy to an overseas location when we're operating in another area such as the Middle East.
Okay, so it's not like the B-2 where every mission originates from here.
That's correct. We certainly can do that. We've got that kind of capability, but those makes for a real long flight.
Yeah, you get kind of tired by the time you're there. Any other questions anybody wants to know? Yes, sir.
Are bird strikes ever a problem flying low?
That's a good question. At low altitude, they can be. So we try not to go past about 500 feet, just stay above most of the birds, and we're real careful around that. But they've been known to penetrate skin of the aircraft in certain cases if you hit a large enough bird. We've never had any major damage caused by a bird yet, though, fortunately.
Well,
keep our fingers crossed.
That's from your point of view. The bird doesn't feel that way.
That's true.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Has this particular aircraft served in the Middle East?
Has this particular aircraft been to the Middle East?
They have been served in anywhere from Kosovo to various operational theaters in the Middle East and is still employed today.
Well, it's kind of a break then for you guys to be here instead of over there.
Yeah, this is a pretty good deal. I really enjoy coming out to AirVenture, so we fought long and hard to get this particular duty.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. You had to act disinterested so that they would send you. Little reverse psychology there.
Yeah.
Well, it sure is a pretty airplane. Boy, that's kind of a dumb thing to say, but, you know, this is one of the most beautiful airplanes in flight, I think, of the large bombers.
Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate that.
And do you need any, you know, if you're taking rides, I'm sure we can get some volunteers.
We'd love to be able to do that. Unfortunately, with only 4 ejection seats, it doesn't make it very easy.
It seems awfully inefficient, big airplane for only 4 people.
It's a very densely packed aircraft. We squeeze an awful lot of fuel in there, 7 fuel tanks carrying that 200,000 pounds of gas, and we can burn it up pretty quick if we have to.
When you're in-flight refueling, as the plane takes on weight, that must get much more challenging to stay in position.
That's probably one of the hardest things that pilots do is the air-to-air refueling part. And because this aircraft is so long and you have to shuttle the fuel to the various fuel tanks, center of gravity in the plane will shift significantly. It also shifts when we swing our wings, making and releasing ordnance as well. That makes keeping a stable aircraft a real challenge.
So it's not like the old days where bombs away, everybody better be really paying attention.
Well, it can be like that, but we do have automated systems to manage that, but we, of course, keep a close eye on things.
Well, I thank you very much, Captain Mike. Before we finish up, are there any other questions? Yes, sir. That's an interesting question. How much do your wingtips flex?
They do flex a little bit, but nothing like you've seen in the B-52, for instance, a lot of other aircraft. They're fairly rigid wings. So we don't get a lot of that, but they do, of course, sweep back, and they're much stiffer in that configuration.
How much carbon fiber composites are on the aircraft? I mean, it looks mostly aluminum.
The aircraft is primarily aluminum, but there's a few noticeable places where there a lot of composite is used. Titanium throughout the main wing box and certain other critical structures as well.
And, of course, I'm sure there's a large restriction on how close somebody can be behind this thing when you're getting ready to go.
We do put out a lot of thrust back there, so we'll definitely be getting this out of the area before we start her up.
Oh, there's a row of porta potties around here somewhere, I'm sure.
We've been known to knock a couple of those over.
Empty or full is the question. All right, well, Captain Mike, thank you for being at Oshkosh. Thanks for bringing your airplane.
Thank you, Dave.